What up, folks? I got ads. Today's podcast is presented by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space so you always know how much you get when you include an ad from Podgo. Apply today to become a member and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podgo.co at podgo.co. And be sure to add your podcast in How Did You Hear About Podgo section of the application.
I think it's time to blow this thing. Get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
What's up? Boom. Back once again, goddammit, to another edition of Tell Me a Joke, the guideline to chasing the dream. And today, I'm out in New York, and I'm out here with the homie that almost, you are very close to getting me to move out to this motherfucker.
Do it.
Draxton Clemens.
Hey, what's up, dude?
Hey, nothing much, man. Chilling.
Yeah, fuck yeah, man. So how long you been out here?
I've been out here January made 3 years.
Oh,
so
okay.
Almost 3.5 years now.
Yeah.
Came up from Atlanta. It was dope. I've been doing comedy in Atlanta for like 5.5 years.
Oh, okay.
And kind of hit like a wall of like, what do I want to do? Where do I want to go? And I remember deciding, like, I was like, it's either going to be LA or New York. I'm going to figure it out. And this comedian, Eva Evans, came down to Atlanta and she was looking for a place to do comedy. And she was just asking around, like, hey, where are the shows? And, like, a lot of the male comics were like, I'll tell you where you can do a show. At my house, you know what I'm saying? And I was so gung-ho about, like, moving to one of the two where I was like, yeah, here are all the shows. That's where they at. Look,
right.
How's New York? I want to know what New York is like. And she was like, yo, you're the only guy down here who hasn't, like, tried to hit on me. How about I book you for my show in New York?
Ooh, there you go.
So that October, flew up to New York. I was up here for a day and a half. I saw the sights. I walked the bridge. I went to Harlem. I didn't even get an Airbnb. I just stayed up all night, just going to places. And I was like, I'm gonna move here. And 2 months later, I was here.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a commitment, right? It don't take much, cause the few days that I had out here already, I felt totally different compared to Los Angeles. I was like, oh no, this is awesome. Like, I thought, just because, you know, the griminess of this city is what I wouldn't have cared for. You know, everybody's shoulder to shoulder, everything's so close, you know, ain't got lawns and nothing, cluster houses and shit. And I'm like, man, fuck that. I'm used to the city, like, big open areas, and, you know, got a country somewhere you can go to. I get out here, I'm like, oh, feel like Batman, son. This is awesome.
That's the thing. It's like, you can find that in New York.
Yeah.
Like, you can go to Central Park and not see people.
Oh, yeah, true.
You know, there's so many parks out here. There's so many, like, Prospect Park is in Brooklyn. That's not too far. Like, that's the same. It feels like Central Park, too, where it's just, like, it's greenery. And, there's people. But, like, New York, I don't know. I think the thing that I love about it is everyone feels busy somehow.
Yeah.
Like, doing something.
Yeah.
Even the guy who's making the coffee is, like, just in it. Like,
like,
working his ass off. I'm like, yo, this is the energy that I like. Whereas, like, back home, like, in Atlanta, people are like, hey, what's your order? Like, I want to get a, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Everything slowed down.
Yeah. I remember the first time I went back down to Atlanta after moving to New York, I was talking to some friends and I was getting frustrated with them in the back of my mind because they were talking so slowly. Because in New York, not only are the conversations faster, but people leave conversations faster.
Yeah.
So there were like long pauses with my friends and then they would start a new conversation. I was like, oh, we're still talking? I thought we were done talking. I was back to having my drink and food. We're still talking. Oh, okay.
This is so fast. Well, it just looks like a fast-paced place out here just because everything's always moving, always going. Like, I just came from Times Square. I could not smoke a blunt in Times Square.
There's so many cops.
There's so many.
It was like a police station right there.
Yeah.
When I saw this person smoke a blunt in Times Square, I was like, oh, he's bold.
Yeah.
Oh, He's trying to do it.
Okay. It was, I've been, basically, I've been to damn near all the parks out here.
Like, you're trying to get arrested before you leave.
Yeah, it was not the place to do it.
You want to smoke a blunt, go to Washington Square Park, go to Central Park, go to Riverside Park. That's fun. It's right there on
the Riverside Park.
It's right there on the water.
Ah.
There's another really good park, too, Fort Tryon Park up in Washington Heights.
Uh-huh.
You, like, walk down into it, and then it's just, like, water, and you see New Jersey across the water and everything.
Oh,
you
want to smoke a blunt?
That's where you want to go. You want to be high? That's where you want
to
go.
I need to know these things. Like, I'm just up here, because I'm up here motherfucking lonesome and shit. Well, I mean, Paul's out here, but, you know, Paul got classes and all that.
I was like, I hadn't seen Paul.
Yeah, he got to study and do, he got this 12-week course where he's fucking, he's in class from 9 to 4 every day. So, you know, every time I go to a new city, it's just like, I would go with you, but I got shit to do. So, have fun. And it's like, all right, I got it. And I'm gone. I
mean, right, because the thing, there's so much to do here that it's hard to be like, we're going to go here. Like, I got to take my friends down to Atlanta next, in like 2 days. 2 days I'm flying down to Atlanta. And they're like, show us around. And in my mind, I'm like, what? What do you want to see?
What do you want to see? Right.
Because there's so much, like, that's like going out in New Orleans and you're like, show me around. It's like, what do you want to see? You don't want to go to the French Quarter. And that's where everybody goes. So this is where we're going to go. We're going to go to this place called Redux. We're going to have a good burger. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
a
real good burger.
Oh, my God. Literally, it's the only place I remember in New Orleans. I remember it was a beer garden that I performed at, like a brewery and Redux. Because Redux had the best. Oh, my God. So anyway.
Shout out Redux.
But yeah, like you don't know where to take people because you don't know what they want. So like it's good to just get out and explore yourself. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, and it was good because I wanted to go to Dickman's.
Every time you said Dickman's, I was like, this brother here. Nah, they would murder you up there. What you mean, Dickman's, bro? Ain't no Dick Brown here.
I wanted to go there, but then I realized, I was like, oh, this is a trek. From Times Square to go up there, I was like, damn.
It's a trek, yeah, because you over 207.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So I was like, all right, well, and since that was going to be out of the way, I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to just go back to this waffle spot.
Belgian waffles?
Yeah. That right there, as soon as I finished eating, I was like, oh, this is a bad idea to eat the entire thing.
Yeah.
But as it started.
They put it in the middle of Times Square, too.
Yeah.
They said, eat this.
Oh, as it started, it was great. But as I finished, I was like, I shouldn't eat it. And I wanted the one with bacon, but they ain't had a bacon one.
That's how Varsity is in Atlanta. So there's like this spot called the Varsity, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, if you're from Atlanta, you don't go there.
Yeah.
You don't. It's not a good spot. It's not good, like, whatever. But, like, tourists are like, oh, my gosh, a restaurant we've never been to. And they have this, like, tradition of being like, what do you have? What do you have? Like yelling at you almost. And so you have to, like, make your decision fast. They don't, like, wait on you.
Right.
Kind of thing. And so, like, tourists come down and like, it's the only mean part of Georgia. They're so mean to us. Like, but then they ass get blown out because they hurting because the food wasn't meant for anybody.
It wasn't meant for
consumption.
I learned that immediately as I got here because I went down to the corner store or bodega and I got me a gyro. I got me a gyro. And that motherfucker was delicious. It was spicy in all the right places. And fucked me up entirely. Like the next day, I was just like, oh, I had just the shits for that way. I don't even think it's supposed to happen that way. I think you're like supposed to have a day or something before you shit the food.
Nah. But you know what it is? I think the water up here is different. Cause like in the
I
south,
like our tap water.
Right in the south, it's like cause every time I go back home, I know the first day that I eat, it's a wrap for me.
Yeah.
Like, that next morning, I'm going to be in pain. They'll talk to me. I'm in the bathroom. Uh-huh. Whatever. But then once my body gets used to it, I'm good.
Yeah.
And I come back up to New York, and the first day I'm back in New York and eat the food again, my body's like, I don't know what you tried to do to yourself.
Yeah.
It's like something's in the water.
Yeah, possibly. I don't know. I enjoyed y'all tap water, though. I was like, this tap water is delicious.
We got some good tap.
Like, I do enjoy good tap water.
I don't know. The only water I don't trust is New Orleans water.
I'll say that out loud.
They
got the brain-eating meatballs down there.
I smell it.
It happens. I don't mind. Like, you come other places and you drink their water, and it's like, oh, we have not been getting good things since we were, you know, growing up and shit. But
I think ours comes from a glacier. That's why. So like, there's a glacier. So the Bronx has its own water.
Really?
And that water is what we get. And then also, any bodega, there's this thing called Poland Springs water.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? This is the New York, this is it.
Yeah.
Poland Springs.
We got the big jug at the house.
Exactly. And for whatever reason, if this costs more than a dollar, you're not at a bodega. You got like a Rite Aid or something. Literally, you walk in, you throw a dollar across the counter, you keep it walking. Like, that's it.
Come on. I love the just... People keep things moving out here. They keep it going. I love that.
A bodega is the only place that you could negotiate the price of something. So like, you know, you go to a store back home and they'd be like, no, it says 157. Mm-hmm. Right? And you'd be like, but I have a dollar. They'd be like, that's not our problem. That's 157. Up here, you could be like, yo, let me give you 50 cents next time I see you. Like,
yeah.
Of course, Poppy, cool. No worries. And you're out and you never give them
so
50
friendly.
Cents.
Yeah.
You never do.
I got you next time.
But they see you every day.
So yeah.
What are they going to do? Be like, no, you can't come in here? No.
Oh, man. Okay. Since I've been here, I think I've ran into just about all of the nonsensical things that you would run into. Things that you don't want to have happen to you.
Like what?
I've had, okay. Well, I've had yesterday on a train ride home. Mm-hmm. I didn't tell you this story. This is fun. Okay. Well, I ran into the dancers, mm-hmm. the light feet people,
the
subway people. Yeah, I ran into those guys. I didn't expect that to happen. I thought about it in the back of my head, but I didn't think they were still doing things. But I saw that shit and I was like, oh, this is great. Check that off the bucket list. You know, didn't expect it to happen, but I saw it. I'm like, okay, this is good. Yesterday. Yeah. Oh, I also ran into a Hasidic Jew, right?
The one with the curls and the hats.
I kept getting told about him, but I didn't see him until I got here. And I was mm-hmm. like, hey, there you are. Look at that. You just reminded me of Snatch. Like, you got a diamond heist about to happen. I'm ready for it.
So this is, we're in Williamsburg now. This is like their neighborhood.
Yeah.
So like, if you were to go... four blocks that way.
Yeah.
It's just a whole community. And when they're also notoriously anti-maskers.
So all of them did not have a mask on.
Right. So when COVID blew up in New York, it was happening a lot in this area because a lot of the Hasidic Jew population were like, we don't want to wear masks. Wow. We don't believe in all of this or whatever.
What?
And so, yeah. And so... The biggest pop was like in Williamsburg, not because of the.
Did they believe it after the pop? It was just like no. I see them now, and they still.
No, my friend explained it to me, and I can't remember his exact explanation, but like you know, it was just basically like a religious thing. Like they were like, God's got us.
But only so many of y'all though.
Right.
Yeah. So what about the rest of y'all? Because I'm pretty sure that number has been. Already been fucking brought up.
But like
you've reached that number.
That's that melody from heaven right there.
Oh,
you know
okay.
What I'm saying? That's
right. That quota has been reached, but we're still faithful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever.
Hey.
That's your okay, so I ran into one of those people and they all look very busy. The older ones look like they, you know, I think a guy was in a jeweler or something like mm-hmm. that. One of them was in a jeweler and the other one was just smoking his cigarette and just walking real fast. And I was like, okay, this is weird. I had never seen this type of culture before. Ran into the Indian area because I was in the wrong area.
Mm-hmm, to Queens.
Right. And every time I say that, people are like, ooh, he was a deep Queens.
Yeah. You're either in Jackson Heights or further. Which is cool. I mean, they've got some real good food over there, but that's deep.
And everything smelled like curry, and I understood. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay. But when I got on the train yesterday, leaving from here, it was like 11, 12 maybe.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty late. We watched the entire Justice League movie, the Zack Snyder. Watch the Zack Snyder cut. Everybody loves it. Everybody's enjoying it.
It was good.
And I got on the train, and there was this lady. I think it was a lady. It might have been a real rugged boy, a real smooth face, like an Andy Milonakis.
Yeah.
Fucked up in the head, kind of sorta. Yeah. And I'm like, all right, so you know, and I know, you know, from New Orleans, hey, don't make eye contact with deranged people. Just let them walk by.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, I was pretty high last night. I was pretty high. And I made eye contact with her. I just watched her as she walked across my path. And I was like, damn it. Something's about to fucking happen now. And I felt it immediately. She sat down like, I'm on this railing right here. And she sits down on the next bench next to the other railing. And the whole time I got my earbud in my ear. And I'm listening to my podcast and shit. And she is just grilling. She's just staring down. And I just feel dagger eyes on me. And I'm like, man. And I don't know if it's a dude or if it's a chick. Mm-hmm. Like, she's patting me right now. And I'm not really sure what the fuck is going on.
Right.
Like, is it Patricia or is it Patrick? You know? I'm like, I'm not really sure what we're doing. So I don't know how to really go about the situation. So I ignore the shit out of her. You know? Mm-hmm. And they got a dude that's sitting, like, diagonal from me and a dude that's sitting, like, next to me on this bench. And this chick, she gets up. And she comes, like, right here next to my knee, son. And I am not... I ignored the fuck out of her, son. Ignored the fuck out of her. And from what it sounds like, and from what I'm catching out the corner of my eye, it sounds like she crumping right here next to my ear, son. And, nigga, she going hard. Like, she... and fucking throwing her fist and shit. Mm-hmm. Like, not, like... in my vicinity,
but not at you.
Yeah, not to rev.
She's going in her own world, but it just happens to be next to you.
But she looking at me as she doing it, but she just tried. And I'm like, if she spit, we got a problem.
Right.
But right now, like, I don't know what she's doing, so I'm ignoring the shit out of her. And she, you know, she talking to herself or to whoever she was talking to when she walked up. Mm-hmm. And so I tapped my little earpiece so I could shut it off just so I could understand what the fuck she's saying. And so I'm just sitting there and I'm ignoring her the whole time, son. And I know these dudes see what the fuck going on, but you know I'm ignoring the shit because I don't give a fuck what's going on right now. And fucking, she finally leaves, and then the door we stop and the door opens, and she's like, yeah, and, you know, she starts doing some intimidating shit.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, man, I can't deal with this. And she, like, she does a little poochie motion, and she walks off the train. But she took too long because the doors were already open. So as she tried to walk off, the bitch just smashed her. I was like, that's what you get.
And I'll tell you.
The whole time she's struggling trying to get through the door and she finally gets out. I was like, haha.
I'll tell you my craziest train story. So this was before the pandemic. I'm coming home. No, I'm not coming home from a show. A show did happen. I had a friend. Mark and my ex Jordan, and we all hung out. Mark was visiting in town to see my ex, and I made friends with him that night. He wanted a New York night. It's 19 degrees outside.
Oh, Jesus.
He was like, I want a New York night. He's like, I'm already at Junior's right now, which is like a big cheesecake spot. Picked up a Junior's cheesecake, right? Then meets us at this bar. We're at this white ass dive bar, and we're playing 80s rock. But we know the songs, uh-huh. Right? And so we're playing pool, and they're playing this rock music, and we're singing it. And all these white people keep coming in. How you know this song?
Huh.
How you know this song?
Get
this man a drink right here. He knows the song. This man know. What you know about Pour Some Sugar on Me? Come on, you know the song.
Really?
Yeah, literally. So we're all dancing, we're having a good time.
Never seen a black person
they're buying us a shit ton of drinks. And then it was some Irish bar too. Buying us a shit ton of drinks. We go to the Lantern, which is a comedy club that is now no more. And we go to the Lantern and they're like, hey Drex, you wanna hop up on stage, do some time? I was like, sure.
Of course.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a little tipsy, but we're here.
I got this.
Right. So I hop up on stage, we do some time. We drink. Oh my gosh, there was a drug dealer at the bar. I know this guy was a drug dealer because he kept yelling, and I sell drugs. I sell them. What? What is happening? Right? And so Mark was like, I want to try some weed, I want edible or something. And the guy comes to the table and he's like, I'll do you better than an edible. I got liquid weed right here. It should get you high, right?
Uh-huh.
Liquid THC. So, he puts it in our drinks. All right, so we drink our drinks.
Drinks the bloodstream.
Right, and we're like, all right.
Shit, you're
right? And so we're getting really high off these drinks, and he's going a mile a minute. He's high as fuck. He's going a mile a minute, and Mark is trying to what is it? Queer eye him.
Really?
Because he's like, I don't know what it is. Women just don't want to have sex with me. And it's crazy because I got drugs. And like, I'm here. Right. Well, you talk a lot. You talk real fast. You're looking real scruffy. You got a Rick and Morty shirt on. Like, there's several things going on with this picture that maybe you need to, you know, work on and fix. So we're talking to him. And he's like, you know, y'all absolutely right. You know what? Y'all are my best friends. Tonight, y'all are my best friends. Y'all want some more of this liquid THC? And they're like, sure. The dropper breaks for whatever reason. So he's like, fuck it. I'll just start pouring this. So he just started pouring heavy amounts of weed oil in our drinks. And we're like, all right, fine. So we take some more of the drink. Now we're all too high.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So we're like, yo, we gotta go. We gotta go home. We gotta go home. I'm too high. We're too drunk. It's been a late night. It's 2 a.m. We gotta go. We gotta go. So we hop on the train. So we get on the train at Westport. We're trying to get up to 145th Street. Two stops in. So this is now 23rd Street. Some guy walks up on the train and he goes, this the weed train now.
What?
Yep. Hey, bro, smoking a blunt. Whoever wants some of this hit, y'all can have some. It's the weed train now. We hotboxing. So everybody on the train, there's about 20 of us on the train. We all looking at each other. And then at some point, we all went, it's the weed train.
It's the weed train.
We ain't, I guess it's the weed train now. Right? So, so this guy's like, yo, who wants to hit this blunt? Who wants to hit this blunt? Y'all want to hit this blunt? Some white guy goes, I'll hit it.
Some white guy. Like, Rando.
Like, some bro. I'll hit it. I'll hit the butt. He smokes a butt, so now we're all like, it's the white guy. We should be fine. So then Mark pulls out the blunt, starts smoking it. Everybody else who starts smoking, we're passing the butt around. And this one girl looks so uncomfortable on the train. Right? And
how bad is this to be doing on the train?
Oh, the worst.
No worries.
But it's 2 a.m. Everybody's asleep. So, and the train, when I tell you, it was a cloud of smoke on the train. And this one girl is in the corner tweaking hard. And we're like, hey, miss, you okay? She goes, I took an edible about an hour ago. It's hitting hard right now. And we're like, oh, no. Right? So then, so now we're six stops in. We are only six stops in. We're at 59th Street. And we're like, yo, we got so much more to get home. And
how many stops y'all got left?
This is local. So we still got like 12 more stops. So 12 more stops left. It's running local. So it's a slow train. This guy starts giving out motivational speeches. Getting high up. And what y'all need to do is work on yourselves so that you can help others. And we're like, this man is giving great advice. We're high. This man's giving good advice. And we keep looking at this junior's cheesecake. Like, should we eat it? Like, we ain't got no force. Like, should we eat
cheesecake.
It?
Cheesecake.
Right. So we're like, no, but everybody knows we got the cheesecake. Yeah. We asked for it. So we like try to put it aside. So four more people hop on the train. Right? And then they go, this the weed train? This guy goes, it's the weed train. They start passing blunts. So now there's five blunts in rotation on this hot box train at 2 a.m.
I still want this to happen to me.
This is pre-COVID.
Oh my God. Pre-COVID.
So now we're all hotboxing on this train together. And I'm already high. And we get over to Jordan's place. We destroy this junior's cheesecake. And I wake up no less than 12 hours later being like, did that happen?
Did it happen?
And I look over, I wake up and I go over to Mark and I go, was that not a New York night? Is that
for real?
You wanted?
I forgot. He told me to ask for that.
He's like, I gotta come back to New York. Of course you gotta come back to New York.
Oh, I definitely gotta come back to New York after. If you hear a story like that, you just, because it's bound to happen. Oh, man, that shit that I ran into, I was like, oh, this is very strange. I don't know. All right. Okay, because I definitely want you to go ahead and mention these boroughs and how people write out here. But before that, I'm still like just taken aback by these bodegas and the people that are in them. Very friendly people. The demeanor of people down here is very aggressive and very straightforward, but in a nice way though. Like I'm only saying this because like you fucking up right now, and bitch, don't be fucking up. But I love you though. You know, it's like, oh shit, you know,
because
shit.
They had to go through it.
Yeah, so, I fucks with that.
Yeah, because like they probably moved here from like Ohio, Colorado.
Yeah.
And then the first day they moved here, someone was like, what the fuck are you doing?
It's yeah.
Like, I just wanted to make an egg on a roller hero. It's like, I don't know. Like, you know, and then now they wake up every morning after that shock and be like, bacon, egg, and cheese on a roll.
Right.
Good. And then they just roll about their day. You want anything on it? Don't put nothing on it. Just want bacon, egg, and cheese on a roll. Thank you so much. And like,
it immediately it seems like this is a place, if you ain't ready to check nobody, you might as well leave your fucking bags at the door because you're going to be going right back.
I was way nicer before I moved here.
Oh.
I'm still pretty nice, but like, okay, I would say I was way less assertive. Now, like, I'm like, excuse you, what are you doing?
I've as soon as I've seen a few people get it, like, get handed to them, I'm like, oh, I can't be no bitch out here. Okay, because last night, on my way home, I wanted to go get some Frosted Flakes. Mm-hmm. Frosted Flakes and some milk. That's it. Go have me some cereal, because I was like, fuck yeah, I'm high. This feels great. I'm going to go ahead and get me some cereal on the way home. Man, the difficulties on getting cereal as a small man, not fun out here in these bodegas.
Why?
Because man, all the cereal's on top shelf.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, I purposely.
You want to know why that is?
Why is that?
Bodega cats.
They
gonna knock down that cereal.
That is a good fucking answer. See, I'm glad I asked that question.
Yeah.
Because that shit fucked that me up.
That you can easily open.
Yeah. That fucked me up. I was like, man, are we playing games? Like, what's going on?
But also rats and stuff.
Yeah, those rats are big. I get that as well. I understand that as well. And I went to one bodega just so I can be like, all right, what's the selection? And they only had like so many cereals. And I'm like, I don't know why y'all ain't got a big cereal selection. So I left out of there. And I was like, plus it's still too high. So I don't want it. And I went to the next one. I went to the one on the corner. And I seen it. I was like, oh, y'all got a good selection, Fruity Pebbles or Frosted Flakes. I was like, fuck it, let me get these Frosted Flakes. But I could not reach. And there was a dude right there in the fucking nook that was just sitting on the fucking, he was sitting on a crate. Mm-hmm. And I was like, if I ask him, yeah, I could probably use this crate to get this, you know, because I have no idea why it's on the top shelf and I can't reach it anyway. Do they want me to get it myself?
They got this little,
See? All right, that came later.
Right.
I did not see that at all. What I saw was this. I thought it was a wino or something. Because he was sleep. Motherfucker was passed the fuck out. And I'm like, man, all right, I can't get this shit. So I went look around just to see if they had any more closer that I could reach. Mm-hmm. You know, because I would be tiptoeing and look like a dumbass. Like, mm-hmm. I can't reach it at all. Like, I can't even tip and reach it. Like, so I'm like, okay, let me go get somebody. I went to the front. I'm like, yo, man, give me the Frosted Flakes. And he fucking was like, he smiled at me. He was like, da da da, and said some shit to the back. And they had a dude that came from the freezer. And he looked down, and then he looked at me. He was like, I got you. And just, you know, because he was tall. And just reached up there, got the shit for me. So I'm like, all right, cool. Went to go get my milk after that. I'm like, I guess that's what I had to do. I go to get the milk. I hear a nigga that's fucking sitting down. I was asleep. He go to the front. He was like, man, what the fuck am I here for then? Motherfuckers, I'm sitting right there, bitch. If you need something off the top shelf, motherfucker, say something. I was like, yo.
You were asleep.
Hold on. Yeah, I went up there. I was like, motherfucker, you were asleep back there just now. I was like, I didn't know that was your job. I didn't know that's your job to be getting shit off the top shelf.
That's his job.
He was like, that's what I'm here for. I'm like, nigga, you the same height as me. Bitch, you ain't getting shit off the shelf. Then everybody started laughing. He was like, oh, that's what it is? That's what it is? Oh, okay. Okay. Then he went to the back, and then he came back. Ooh, what I got this cloth thing for then? What I got this little reacher for? I'm like, I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was your thing.
Yeah,
I didn't.
No, the reacher thing is, look, it's important.
Yeah, I was like, you're not gonna shit on me because I can't reach it, bitch. You can't reach it either. I'm about to shit back on you. Like,
right.
What the?
Right.
I was like, this nigga really wouldn't go told because I didn't know that was his job. I get it. I know for next time.
Yeah, there's always a guy at the boat. So you got two to three people at a bodega max. You got registered dude.
Mm-hmm.
You got chef.
Right. Okay.
Bodega chef.
I see that.
And then you got a random nigga.
Random.
Whose job it is to do random shit. They'll be like, Ice, that nigga gets up. You'd be like, he wasn't even there. Where did he pop up?
How did this get appointed to this nigga?
You got this thing in the back? That nigga show up. How you be like, this nigga just, he's like a genie. Where you're like, you gotta ask it three questions and pass the test to get this nigga to do anything. But that's his only job. So he's just sitting around for hours, just waiting for somebody to activate him.
Oh my God! Why? How did he get that job? Is he just one of the ones that used to come sit in the front or something like that? And be like, hey man, come on, you want a job?
No, think about it. That nigga's like Alexa. You know what I'm saying? Alexa be chilling in the corner for hours.
Yeah.
Just what? Like, I hope a nigga asks me to play some shit. I wonder if he gonna ask me what the weather is today. Alexa just chilling. That's
a great analogy.
Right?
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's exactly what he was doing.
That's all there's. So that you got cashier, you got chef, and you got Alexa. Alexa's only job is to do shit that you ask it to do, But you got to ask it first.
That's amazing. That's New York is something else. I love it. I love the subway system. Like, so how long, when you was growing up, did you know this is what you was going to do? You knew you was going to do comedy when you was getting older? Mm-hmm. What did you want to do when you originally, like, growing up as an adolescent?
So, I wanted to be a therapist.
Oh.
Yeah, I got, like...
Physiology and shit?
No. It was more like, so my mom has borderline personality disorder.
Mm.
And so, in studying, like, that, in studying, like, my mom's, like, behavioral switches and things like that, I got really interested in psychology, but then also I was always the guy that give people advice.
Mm-hmm.
So like people would come to me and be like, Trex, I got this issue. And I'd be like, all right, here are the four ways I'm looking at this logically. And here's how somebody's going to take this move emotionally.
Mm.
And here's how this could match up. And here are the three ways that this could work. Now this is on you, but here's, and so that's kind of like, I would always kind of be the problem solver. So I was like, oh, let me just get into that. It seems like a fun and easy career. Yeah. But when I was a kid, I would just study comedy. Like,
yeah.
I would just enjoy studying it. And so like, meaning like...
Reading books or just watching film?
I would watch every special. I haven't missed an episode of SNL since I was 10. That was like a thing my dad and I used to do all the time.
What up, folks? We got ads. Today's episode is brought to you by Fulton, a modern branch of arch support. Fulton launched the most comfortable, supportive, and sustainable insoles on the planet. Take that, Dr. Scholes. Fulton believes wellness starts from the ground up, and the feet are the foundation of our bodies. That is right. Fulton Insoles offers comfortable arch support to align your body from head to toe, mitigating pain, providing comfort, and improving posture. Who wants a great posture? I do, because I'm small and I need to stand up tall from time to time. Fulton is creating a world where the shoes we wear are actually good for our bodies. I didn't know that was bad, but hey, who knows, you know? Providing you with a sturdier foundation for a healthier future. Now, I work on my feet a lot. Electricians. I got to have some nice, comfy insoles in my boots, because not all of these boots come with some comfy insoles, and I'll be on my feet at least 10 hours a day, and some good comfy insoles, come on, man, you can't go wrong with that. So, Fulton is offering our listeners 10%, that's not even a percentage, that's a dollar, $10 off, come on now, a whole $10, you get $10 off. Fulton is offering our listeners $10 off your next purchase at walkfulton.com by using the code podcast10. That's code podcast10 for $10 off at walkfulton.com. walkfulton.com. walkfulton. Is that country of me? Walkfulton. walkfulton.com. Check out the website to see how Fulton can support you. Hey.
The thing about it is, like, I wouldn't be watching these specials and necessarily laughing. I'd be like, how is he doing this?
Yeah.
It was like magic to me.
Yeah.
So I'd be like, is it the crowd work? Is it the facial expressions? Is it the timing? Is it the written? Is it, you know, the act out? Whatever. And so I would just start looking at comics and being like, that guy figured this out.
Mm-hmm.
This guy figured that out. Like, Patrice figured out crowd work. Like, he already has the bits ready.
Yeah.
But the crowd work was so on point that he brought you into his trap on your own.
Yeah.
Where a lot of comics, I feel like if he were to do his bits and just be like, this is how I feel, you'd be like, ow. But if he were to do, but the way he does it.
He didn't do that at all.
Right. Like, why would you say that? But like, be like, hey, y'all ever feel this way?
Right.
It's just something small. So tell me if you, I would never feel that way. Oh, you never feel that way. Well, what if this was the situation?
Yeah.
Of course I feel that way. Exactly. So I'm right. Boom. And then he was just jumping.
Yeah.
So it was like he knew how to, you know, or like Kyle Kinane knows how to tell a story. Or,
he's such a good storyteller.
Yeah. And I would just look at different, like, I love how Roy Wood Jr. is really good at breaking things down into analogies and things like that. And so what I would do is I just love to study it. And in high school, I ended up being a manager at a pizza restaurant. But working my way up to management, I had to work the phone lines. Mm-hmm. And so I was front desk and phone lines. And if you want to hear crazy shit, work the phones. Work the front desk. People come in with wild requests. People come in saying, like, on the phone, nah, uh-uh, fuck them kids. Hold on. Yeah, let me go ahead and get it. You're like, what? So I would come to the school the next day with stories of stuff that was happening at work. And then I would, and people were like, yo, that's funny. And I would come back the next day, and instead of like four people, it'd be like 10 people being like, yo, tell that story from yesterday. I'd be like, all right. And I would come back the next day at lunch, and it'd be two tables full of people being like, tell that story from 2 days ago. I'd be like, 2 days ago? I got a new story. They'd be like, this nigga got a new story. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah. So it was like I subconsciously figured out, like, from what I was learning as a kid, figured out like how to craft stories and like how to craft jokes and stuff. And so after high school, I hopped on stage for the first time September 2012, and I've been doing it ever since.
Oh shit, because you're a 93 baby. I forgot. I was like, after high school? Yeah, because I look at you and I'm like, he about around my age. I forget. I'm 96. you're not that age. You're still in your 20s. Yeah. But yeah, that's odd, because I didn't know what I was doing. I just thought I was bad. Like, my parents was like, you're a terrible child. You need to calm down and shut the fuck up. And it's like, oh, okay. You know, but I could not. I just like, well, this is how people like me for some reason. And, you know, I have interesting stories to tell people, made up or not. You know, it's just how I always had a crafty mind. And like, if certain situations happen, let's see the best lie that sounds really true that I can give somebody, and just go with that and see how long I can go with it for. I told this dude that I was a twin for two and a half years.
Oh wow.
Yeah. And we go to the same school and everything.
That's just so funny.
Like, I eventually just had to tell him, because he would come up to me and he'd be like, hey man, which one are you? And I, because we had our, you know, name tags and shit at school. And I ID cards. And I was like, you got to guess. You got to guess. And he was like, oh, you such and such. I'm like, oh, good guess, man. I was like, I don't know how you're not getting this. But I think at that point when I was going to school, I switched from glasses to contacts, so I could switch from having glasses to wearing contacts and shit. And that's when I started growing my hair out a little bit. But it still was like, I don't know how you don't notice this. Public school children. That's what it was for me. I was like, coming from a private school, going to a public school. I'm like, oh, this is how you feel? You ain't even gonna try to deduce the situation at all? You know.
Then how did you go from that into like performing?
Well, somebody told me one day after I was out of college at that time. And I was hanging out with my friend. He took me to a Saints game. He was like, yeah, him and his brother, you know, we just sitting in the back fucking shooting the shit. You know, I point out obvious shit and I critique it as I see it happening. And I seen this dude who was on a jackhammer. And he was just working. And I shitted on him hard for no reason. But I've worked with a jackhammer before. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this nigga not doing that properly. Nigga, I went at him. And motherfucker was like, yo, is that silly, son? You ever thought about doing comedy? I was like, no. Never thought about doing. But that whole time until we got to the Superdome, motherfuckers was dying laughing. Just from the shit that I was saying. But when I do shit like that, I be for real. But also, I be for real in a playful way. Like, I'm serious, but like serious in a tone to where people's like, bitch, that's silly still. It's still silly. So it's just, it didn't dawn on me at that point until you said that. And I was like, ah. And then from then on, that's when the wheels started turning. And boom, 8 years later now, fucking been doing comedy. Yeah, besides this little stint of last year, that was the longest I've ever been off stage.
Really? Yeah. I couldn't do it. I tried. I think the first week and a half of coronavirus, I was like, you know what? I'm going to take a break. 2 weeks. Because remember how I was like, oh, 2 weeks, everybody stay home, then we back. 2 weeks? Okay, cool. I'll take a break. Got me. That third week. Yeah. I was like, y'all got a Zoom?
Yeah. Y'all, man. How you felt on them Zooms? How many Zooms have you done?
I've done maybe like 50, 60 Zooms.
That's the motherfucker that gets it.
The thing about it is like, the Zooms aren't bad. I think people are like, oh my God, Zoom sucks. Everybody's on mute, yada, yada, yada. It's a different platform. It's a different way of having to do it. It's more conversational. So you get to go like, hey, you on your computer screen, how you doing? You know what I mean? But I think it's really good for figuring out like how to pace your jokes.
Yeah.
Like without, because I just go in pretending like I'm telling jokes to the mirror.
Yeah.
But I just so happen to like talk to people or whatever. And then, you know, and then that way I can get like a rhythm and a flow. And also Zoom shows typically are more lucrative than live shows. You're at home, not doing shit, and you're still making however much money you're making per show.
Right.
To sit at home. I love it. And especially like in June, like I remember putting up Venmos at the beginning of the pandemic, being like, hey, this is my Venmo. If you like my set, Venmo me. And making $100 on people being like, that was a great show, on top of being paid whatever. So Zoom shows have been fun, but nothing beats live comedy.
Right.
Yeah. And so that's why we started the Park Show like ASAP. We started the Park Show, I think, like at the end of August in the Central Park.
Yeah.
And there were like 80 to 100 people coming out every show.
Man.
Because they just wanted to be out of the house.
That shit's wild, son. That y'all. Like, I went to Astoria Park. I did a show out in Astoria Park. It was the first show I did in New York. Woohoo! And man, that, I mean, everybody was comics, but I didn't know that. Like, but everybody kept saying it, but it's still, y'all don't know me. So it's just like, y'all gonna be a regular crowd to me. And it was still like exhilarating just because it's like, oh, we in a park for real. Like, you know what I mean? Certain places we don't
have people. Because that one's insulated. Like, there's like, it's a tent. And so like people are sitting in the tent. It's like an actual audience. You like it.
I can't wait. It's always good to have an audience, because coming down from the city, they've got their audiences and shit out there. But out here, it's a different audience, because this is it's a different comedy scene. And that's I'm glad we say that, because that gets us into like the cadence and the how people write out here.
Yeah,
because you. It's different. Like you was telling me last night, it's different compared to where you're at and where you're coming from. If you want to remember what you were saying.
I think every major comedy city has its own rhythm and cadence, and like regardless of what they're talking about, you could all have the same topic. Sky is blue. St. Louis comics are going to sound way different than a New York comic, which is way different than an Atlanta comic and a Houston comic and a New Orleans comic and an LA comic. Same topic.
Yeah.
It's just the rhythm is different. With a lot of people who started in New York at New York comedy scene, like in the New York comedy scene, it is very like, bada boom, bada boom. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3. It's set up, punch, set up, punch. What's the deal? That's the deal. Da 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 da. We're like in Atlanta, it's very much like trap meets gospel. It's like a gospel kind of trap thing where you either have one of two things. It's very like preachery.
Yeah.
Where it's like ba da 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 da, and then you bring it back and you gotta bring people in and then da 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 da. You know, where like St. Louis feels more laid back and feels like listening to like Murphy Lee or Nelly. You know, LA has its own like, oh yeah, and then like comedy, yeah. Like, it's fun.
Yeah, it's wicked to
What's
hear that.
What's the deal? You know,
yeah, like, real like, dragged out and shit. It's like, right. And
so you got all these different energies and stuff like that. But what New York does well is helps you hone it. So like you bring like I think that every comedy scene that you start in before you move to New York is high school. Yeah. New York is college, right? You went from people that you know in a scene that you're comfortable with to going out of state to a place that you don't know, and so are so many other people. You have people who are, oh yeah, I was born and raised in New York. I started here.
Yeah.
And then you have other people who are like, I'm from Philly. I'm from here. And then you just learn not only other people's styles, but how other people get to the meat. I think New York, like we were talking earlier, it's very much like, what do you want? Why are you here? Yeah. But it's like, you can be you, but get to the meat of why it is. And also, the business of comedy out here is so much more prevalent. So like in Atlanta, the only thing I was worried about, the only thing I was concerned about was being funny. I was not concerned about making friends, networking, connections, that yada yada. And that was the most detrimental thing I did to my career. Mm. Because it took an extra 3 years to rebuild those things. Once I went to New York, I was like, oh, I've been doing it wrong?
Yeah.
Now I got to go back home and be like, hey, y'all, hey. I'm sorry.
Me to be so distant.
Right. How y'all? I'm just checking on you. How's your day going? You know what I mean? So, you know, New York is very much like, okay, here are the major players. Here are the minor players. Here's the varsity league. Here's the JV league. Here's how people are marketing themselves better. Because not only there are thousands of comics in New York City. And most of them are funny. Mm-hmm. So then the question is, what makes you different from those people? Mm. And not only what makes you different from those people, but what makes you different from the guy who sounds just like you? Mm. Right? Like, Clayton English was telling me about how when he did his...
you talked to Clayton?
Oh, Clayton's dope. He's amazing. And he always has good advice. He has so many gems. Him and David Perdue. David Perdue's someone to talk to as well. But Clayton English was telling me that in the last Comic Standing auditions, mm-hmm. before you even get on the TV one where you're like, here's my story and I just want to try out.
Yeah.
You go up against some comics, you beat them, you go to round two. You go up against some more comics, you beat them, you go to round three. Round three is you versus a dude who sounds just like you,
the fuck
doing
here.
Very similar material,
like a Mortal Kombat,
like
a mirror match,
like beat yourself. God. It's a mirror match. So now you listening to his set, be like, "That's my oh god, I can't even do that joke because that sounds like
shit."
So that's New York.
Yeah,
New York is how do you separate yourself from not only everybody else, but the people who are doing the exact same thing that you're doing. The exact same way. Mm. So then that's where branding comes in. That's where business strategy comes in. That's where like all that comes in that I did not even know about until I moved here.
Whoa. Anyway, well, eventually people are the ones learn about all that shit because, you know, you see the higher ups do it and it's like, oh, this is what I need. So I have everything that I need to have, but just all like, yeah, it's like all fucking fish tentacles and shit just everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's not consolidated into one little block. Like, I have it to where it could be like that, but it's not, in my head, it's not as accessible as it could be. Mm. Like, because I have the website and I have the merch and, you know, I have everything that I need to have, mm-hmm. but it's just like, it's not consolidated to the point to where it's just like, oh, if somebody wants to look for just this or for just me, they'll be able to find it here. Yeah,
I see what you're saying. But I think, again, that's where New York is going to change you for the better when you move here. It's like, because you're going to move here. Because I think, like, when you get to a point where you're like, there is more and I can do more, mm-hmm. why not?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But... Well, I think the thing that it does is go like, all right, I have all these things in the ether mm-hmm. that I'm doing. I got the podcast. I got the stand-up set is on point, you know.
I got a whole special.
Right, got a special, got a website, got a, like the whole thing. Let me put it together.
Right.
Now, let me come up here with this like mentality of like, I already got it.
Yeah.
Now it's just proving it.
Yeah.
Because for a while, people are like, you're the new kid on the block.
Right.
Because you're new. But then they go, oh, he's good. Wait, what else does this guy do? Why have I not seen this?
Right.
Man, let me get him on this show.
Yeah.
Why is he not? Oh,
yeah.
Let me get him on that. You did this show, and then someone hits you up, and they're like, hey, I work with this production. Can you hop in, and yada, yada, yada. Boom, done. And now that's how it works. All the best opportunities I've gotten up here have been like, I did stand up. Someone saw it. And they're mm-hmm. like, can you do what you did there on this thing?
Yeah.
I will pay you money. And I'm like, yes.
That's how it was in LA. Once I found a groove, then things just started happening. And it was like, oh, God, I tell this to everybody. But the reason I did this is one of the things that's out in ether that probably not many people know about. But I did a video for Comedy Central Presents, Comedy Central Online shit. Mm-hmm. And it was... these chicks, Obama's other daughters, and they had a song, a video that called Short Kings, and I played in that video. I was one of the Short Kings in that video. It was like, oh shit, this is a credit, right? I can use this as a credit.
That's
a
credit.
You fucking use that. It's like, this is SAG and everything. I was like, oh shit.
That's dope.
I never had a conversation about any of that. I'm just like, I never was that person to be like, yeah, I did this and did that. And it's like,
but see, and I think that it mattered more. Yeah. Everyone's doing something here, so it doesn't matter. What matters is, can you be consistent?
Yeah.
You know, like Chris Rock says, like, can you kill on a Thursday, then we'll have you on a Saturday.
Right.
Be consistent.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's really what it is. Is New York gets the reps in where you're like, you go like, oh, this is the crowd that this works on. Mm-hmm. Let me move this. It's still the same moves, but let me move this move a little bit over here. So, and like, let me go slower on this punchline because they're going to need a little bit
of time. It's like a beefed up New Orleans out here. That's what it feels like. Because everything feels that I've actually been looking for this, really. I've been looking for something similar to New Orleans, but not New Orleans. And this is what this looks like. This looks like the ending stages of, like, all right, you want to move on to the next level? Now you got to fight the real New Orleans boss.
Right.
That's kind of what it feels like.
Because the thing about it, too, is like, back home, you know how to, you've been in these rooms back home for years, so you know exactly how to work them.
Yeah.
You go like, okay, Redux, the way that the bar is set up is this, there are a lot of comics, they've seen my stuff, so I'm going to try new stuff here, but I know if I do it with this energy, they're going to listen.
Right.
All
right,
I'm going to go over here to this brewery. At a brewery show, they're a little bit more spaced out, you know what I mean? But if I do it over like this, boom, they got it. Mm. You come up to New York, you doing 3-4 shows a night, guarantee you one of the shows that you're doing, you haven't done before.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's, okay, not only can I hold my own consistently for people that may not know me, consistently.
Right.
People who wouldn't be able to tell me away from anyone, can I make their day?
Mm-hmm.
Can I do that to a point where people want to come see me again? Mm. Can I do that to a point where people want to come see me again over all of the other people that they saw in that lineup? I'm always trying to compete with myself, first and foremost, and also everyone in the lineup. I told Eagle Witt, who's this young cat who's doing super, super well out here, I was like, look, every time I perform, I want to be top three in the lineup. I want to make sure that I'm top three. And he said, top three? Nigga, top one? What are you trying to do?
He's like, what are you trying to do?
He said, if you are satisfied and you're happy with top three, be satisfied with top three. But if you believe that you're better than that, and if you think you can do better than that, why not do better than that?
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm on stage and I'm like, I want to blow this out of the water.
Right.
I want to kill.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, I take it so seriously, but also I look at it like a science. Comedy is science. It's science.
I just wanted to say that because everything you was giving, I was like, ooh, that's the science to it right there. That's how you chase your dreams.
Comedy science. I like to look at everything like a thesis statement, and I try to like build from that. So like the thing that I've been doing here recently with my sets is exploring the nuances of humanity. And like, it's so weird. Okay. Tell me if this makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the ideas, the ideals, and the people that we put on pedestals, and humanizing them in a way where if I go, look, we're humanizing this person or this thing on a pedestal, maybe that leaves room to humanize. Like, by bringing them to a human level, that brings us up to a human level.
Right.
Right, so case in point, I've been doing this like Martin Luther King bit about his infidelity. But I always stress, great guy, great speeches.
Yeah.
Amazing. Cheated a lot. This man cheated a lot. Right? And it's like, and not to be like, oh, I'm here to shit on Martin Luther King. Never that. You know what I mean? But it's more of like, when, especially like around the George Floyd thing or whatever, like, and a lot of like the police killings, it's like, when things happen to black people or people of color, the first thing that the media does is go, what do they do wrong?
Mm-hmm.
As a person.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Martin Luther King wouldn't do A, B, and C. Well, if if black children had more role models like Martin Luther King, then they wouldn't block. It's like, we did. Y'all killed them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Killed the entire Black Panther. 100%. Like, you want to, with the story of Breonna Taylor, like that, you know, I can't believe that's so shocking. Who kills someone in their bed? I'll tell you, Fred Hampton. They killed Fred Hampton in bed after drugging him to make sure he slept while they killed him.
Then they made a movie about it after.
They made a whole movie about it where they bust through the door exactly like the Breonna Taylor situation and kill Fred Hampton. And all Fred Hampton did was like, you know what? We should all unite. Now niggas don't want to unite. And they're like, well, where are the black leaders at? Y'all would have killed them.
They're killing them. Yeah.
Right. You think Al Sharpton wanted to lose weight and do TV? No. But that man was like, it's either I die or I lose weight and I'm just like MSNBC's Al Sharpton.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, you can't kill me, I'm on TV. Come on now. You see me. So it's me going like, let me look at these grand situations and boil it down to a human one so that I can then boil everybody else up to a human level. Rather than like a subhuman level that I think a lot of people try to put black people in, where they go like, you know, we're all equal until we die.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, you know what that nigga did.
That motherfucker that was doing this shit to Will.
Exactly.
I heard he
sold drugs. And I heard he
little shit.
He was selling Lucy's on the corner. So, yeah, if you're giving cigarettes to the community, then how could you? And it's like, no, you know? So now I'm like looking at everything and being like, how do I boil this down? Sure. And then also kind of being like, how do I open up as well? Like, I had this whole thing for the longest time of like, I don't think people care about me as a person. I get on stage, I'm a mouthpiece. You think it's funny, you call it a night, have a good day, right? Mm-hmm. No one's like, yo, I wonder how Drex's day was. No one cares. They want me to be funny. So I would never tell jokes about myself. I would always tell jokes about everything else. But then people were like, you know what the problem is with that?
Nobody knows you.
Not only does nobody know me, but what's to keep someone from going, okay, that was a great joke. We're going to have him tell it because we know his story.
Right.
You write that joke for him.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? We love this material or whatever. We don't know much about you. But you know who we do know about? This nigga. So he gonna do that. And we're just going to have his jokes be very similar to what.
Oh, wow.
Or if you're coming down to that mirror person.
Yeah.
Right? That you have to fight at that audition. If all he has to do is be like, I grew up in Alabama, and Alabama taught me this, and my mama, but we know so much about him.
Yeah.
Boom. And then I go like, here's what's going on in the world. And they're like, that's a great joke. Well, we know this guy.
We know this guy.
So now I'm starting to like try to talk about myself.
I realize that at a young time, people want to get comfortable with who you are on stage because, you know, they hear about shit all the time in the regular world. And it's like, you know, they want to know that, oh, what relates me to this person that's on stage, or what can make me feel better today? Like, I've came on stage a few times, and after I got off, motherfucker was like, yo, I was planning on fucking committing suicide today.
Mm-hmm.
But I decided I was gonna come here. My friends told me to come. I wasn't even gonna come. And hey, I can relate to what you were saying. You made me feel real good. I'm not gonna kill myself now. You know, give it a few days, but oh boy.
Right, and that's the win, you know what I'm saying? Where it's like, mm-hmm. You get to make someone's day and just kind of relate to them, and like, that's what I'm in it for. I mean, yeah, I look at the science, yeah, I'm so technical with it, like, I'm watching, like, basketball stats, you know what I'm saying? he's up 12 points, you know? But, I mean, I'm in it for the love, you know?
Yeah.
But, like I said, like, the science is so much fun to me, especially, like, in New York. Like, I was telling you yesterday about the boroughs.
Yeah.
There's five different comedy scenes in New York City.
Yeah.
There's the Brooklyn scene.
That's what I wanted you to talk about right there. That
Brooklyn scene, club scene, uptown scene, Queens scene, and then everywhere else. So
the outskirts.
The outskirts, right? So that's like New Jersey or like a hood room in Brooklyn or whatever.
Yeah.
That doesn't fit into the mold. So the Brooklyn scene or the alt scene is very much writing heavy. So, like, think of your favorite tweet. That's the scene. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A lot of the people there and a lot of the audience members are industry. A lot of, or like they write for a show or they're a part of a show or part of production. So, they're writing all day for like Colbert or something, and then they go, they didn't use any of these jokes, I'll use them, and then they're telling these jokes, you know what I'm saying? Or you know, it's just written heavy. But the only downside to that is that there are a lot, unless it's very improv-y or like very whimsical or absurd, the performance is low. It's very much like, here are the words, take the words, you like the words, great. And the audience's response,
entertainment behind it.
Right. And the audience response, they're like, oh my gosh, that's clever, so clever, oh my gosh, I love that, yada yada yada. But it's never like a I feel like it's hard to connect in a Brooklyn room unless the written is great. Then you go uptown, and uptown is about selling your material. So uptown is very energy heavy. Seton Smith said in a TED talk at one point where he was like, black rooms and white rooms, the only difference between a black room and a white room is if they were watching the same movie, a white room is going to leave and be like if they were watching Hamlet, a white room is going to leave Hamlet and be like, oh my gosh, the acting superb, the direction phenomenal, the score amazing, right? But a black room is going to leave and go, yo, they was really fucking with Hamlet. Like, it's, there's this like fourth wall breakage that black rooms enjoy, where the written can be great, but it's like, I don't want to hear the thing.
You can entertain me, motherfucker.
Entertain me.
Yeah.
So it's about getting that material that you've written and making it entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And that's uptown rooms. And that's what I love to do. I love to write a joke and then be like, how do I make this fun?
Yeah.
Not just funny, but fun. I take it uptown. Then you have the Queens scene, which is one of two scenes. It's either, it used to be Creek in the Cave, which is 3-minute sets.
Which is no longer. Down to Austin it goes.
Yeah. So 3-minute sets. So you take a 5-minute bit and be like, okay, let me cut all the meat out.
Condense it.
So now you go, here's the actual joke. Without the extra fluff, here's the joke. Boom. Figured it out.
Yeah.
Right? Or you have a longer room where it's like very storytelling based and things like that, and that's when you could run like a 15 or 20 minute set.
Yeah.
Just really rock. And then that all culminates into the club rooms. The club rooms are a lot like, what if somebody looked up the definition of comedy in the dictionary? That's what they want to see. Hmm. It's very much like, how do you make your comedy work for middle America?
Right.
Rather than, how do you make it work for Williamsburg, Brooklyn? Because the jokes that you're going to tell in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, some tourist from Italy doesn't care about. And they'll be like, oh, yeah, I was on Cooper Street. Cooper Street, let me tell you guys about Cooper Street. I don't give a fuck about Cooper Street.
The inside jokes about the cities and shit, yeah.
Right, but if you go like, yo, I got skipped on the subway by a homeless person. Who skips people? I thought you wanted money. Come to me.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I was going to give you the money, but I just want to know that you thought about me. I want you to look me in my eye and be like, you got a dollar? And I'm like, no. And it's like, at least I asked. And that makes me feel good. And so for tourists who've been on the subway, they're like, yes, does it make sense? Why are people doing this? But if you were to be like, the J train, let me tell you something about the J train. Like, who and why?
Yeah.
So it's about making all of these things that you learned from the other boroughs work for a middle America crowd or a touristy crowd. Yeah. And those, and the people who get really good at those either become really fun hosts or like they get pushed up to like the JFLs and like the late nights and things like that, because they're really good at doing the clubs. Or like the clubs go like, these are our people. But then the good thing about New York is that the clubs don't determine your success. Because there's so many different ways to be successful. And not only are the clubs a place where people can find a success, but a lot of these bar shows or outdoor shows and things like that, the bigger the show, the more like industry that's at the show. There used to be a show called at the Knitting Factory. And if you got up at the Knitting Factory, there was a guarantee the industry was going to be there. And if you killed it, that could be a career starter for you.
That's so wild, man. We don't have this shit in the city. And down the ones, they don't got no industry shit down there.
That's why you got to move.
Yeah.
You get good where nobody can see you, and then you move here so that you can kill it and capitalize on the work that you have been doing.
Right.
You know? Like that's the best way to do it right there.
Yeah. I know you gotta roll, huh?
In a bit.
Okay, cool. This is meaty. That was weird.
Sorry.
This is good.
What did you want to know?
Oh, yeah, no. I got it. Because you were very into Justice League and shit yesterday. You know some shit. So, usually, this is Tell Me a Joke, and this is about the time to wrap things up anyway. This is Tell Me a Joke, the guy I'm chasing dream. We're just dream chasers. There are no jokes told on this on this podcast, but we do say some silly shit from time to time. Mm-hmm. So, to all the jokers out there, in your life, from, you know, growing older and, you know, being the person you are, what joker would you say best embodies you?
What joker?
Yeah.
Like comedian?
No. What joker? Like.
Oh, which joker best embodies?
Yeah. The Batman Joker.
Oh shit. My gosh.
Yeah.
I feel like everybody says Heath Ledger, right?
No.
No one says Heath Ledger?
No. People say Heath Ledger, but he's not the only one. Some people go deep. Some people say Mark Hamill, you know. So.
Okay. I will say this. Mark Hamill is the best animated Joker voice.
Mm-hmm.
100%. If you're gonna do a Joker, you have to get Mark Hamill, and I'm so glad that he came back on The Killing Joke, because The Killing Joke is
such
a good movie, and like set up that whole like Batman and Batgirl had a thing type thing. It was crazy. But oh, that's tough, because Mark Hamill was such a good Joker. Oh man, Jack Nicholson gets like some honorary mention, because mm-hmm. he definitely made it fun. But I have to go with Heath Ledger. And the reason why I say Heath Ledger Joker is all of the sinisterness, like the
mm-hmm.
of the Joker, all right. of the unhinged, like of the Joker was not in the words. It was in his facial expressions. It was in his body language.
Yeah.
It was like in the way that he slumped over. It was in the way that like when he was like, hit me, do it. Yeah. And it was like, I was genuine. As if I was Batman, I'd be like,
this motherfucker's crazy.
He wants me to hit him. I don't know. I would throw the bike too. Like, this nigga want me to hit. You know what I'm saying? So like, I think that gone too soon, but Heath Ledger really put all of it into mm-hmm. being the Joker, and I think that like that is something that is like worth being. If you're gonna do something, put your all into it.
Yeah.
And if you're not gonna put your all into it, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Heath Ledger is my favorite Joker.
Ah, there you go. That's a good breakdown. That was a really good breakdown.
I'm so nerdy with my shit, bro.
Yeah.
When it comes to comedy, music, or comic books, I can get super nerdy.
Yeah.
I'll get in the weeds.
Oh, yeah. You got into it yesterday. I was like, oh, shit. Because I didn't know the grandmother that was standing up there.
Granny Goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know either. And the crazy thing is, I realized that I saw it in a tweet. Because people were Twitters were just like, oh my god, who is that? Who is that? And like Snyder was like, yeah, Screen Goodness. Like he's just like, yeah, put her in there, whatever. You want an Easter egg? Give you Screen Goodness. What y'all want from me?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I was like, that's Screen Goodness. He's like, yeah. Anybody else? You want a Green Lantern? Throw a Green Lantern on there.
Oh, that's so good.
I'm Zack Snyder. I got 4 hours, bro. What do you want?
Four of them.
Right,
four
they're like, hours. What about Martian Manhunter? I mean, he ain't gonna fight, but he in there.
Here you go. I think that's the Martian Manhunter from the show.
No,
that's not
the Martian Manhunter from the show.
Oh, okay.
So Martian Manhunter from Supergirl is another guy, different black guy, but another guy. But no, he's
pulled the white card.
he was like, yeah, you want a Martian Manhunter? Done. What else?
Do that, motherfucker. It was a good looking Martian Manhunter too.
They're like, what about Harley Quinn? I throw her in there. I don't mind. I give y'all Deathstroke.
Man, he really. Oh, that was so good. That was a very enjoyable movie.
Mm-hmm.
All right, man. Fuck yeah! But I'm glad I finally got to get to sit down at your nice little pad here. We took three flights up in the where are we?
Williamsburg.
Brooklyn. In the Williamsburg, Brooklyn area.
The whitest neighborhood in New York, really.
Beautiful, though. And, yes, it's exciting, man. But let people know where they can find you at, dude.
You guys can find me everywhere. So, You can find me on Instagram at this guy Drex. You can also find my comedy show at Pastrami Comedy NYC. We just got signed to Embassy Row Sony for a podcast called NYC is Dead. So you guys can check that out on all platforms starting the 1st of the month of April. And what else? So you can follow that at NYC is Dead Podcast. You can find me on Twitter at this guy Drex, and you can find my mama in Atlanta. She want to talk to you. All right, thank y'all.
Thank you. Yeah, man. Until next time. This is Tell Me a Joke, the guy that is chasing the dream. I have been your host of Maniacal Menace, Kyle Smith. Say the whole thing like a pimp named Slickback. And if you want to email me, man, you can email me at Tell Me a Joke Yo at gmail.com. So, yeah, it's a new email. Good to emailing. Nobody emails me ever. But, you know, I throw it out there just in case. So if I do get, like, a message or something, I'm going to be so excited.
Oh, that's going to be great.
I'm going to be so excited. So until next time. All right.
Great. That was really good.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.